Well, our daughter's 13 and has been using our health services since she was born, basically. But this weekend on Friday, we noticed swelling, or my wife noticed swelling on her leg. She went to the GP. The GP said, you need to go to a consultant. So she headed on into Crumlin around 7 p.m. She was triaged fairly quickly before 8, and then it was 12:30 a.m. before she was requested to go and get some x-rays done. So she went up. Now, in the meantime, our daughter is in a wheelchair. So you're in the waiting room in Crumlin there, and it is absolutely like a war zone. There are children everywhere. There's children in the corridors. It's very easy to see that everything, there's a lot of pressure on the system in there. So at 12:30, sent off for x-ray. At 2:30 in the morning then, sent off for bloods. And in the meantime, we'd been moved into a little, I suppose you call it a plaster room, which had been divided up into like two cubicles, but really small. And the bed that was in there wasn't even sufficient that we could take Sophia out of her wheelchair, you know.
Nice.
So it went on the 2:30 a.m. when she got her bloods done, and then the ortho reg, the orthopedic guy, came around about 6 o'clock and he said he would need more x-rays done, which was done again at like 6:45. So then we waited throughout the day. At about 12 o'clock we managed to get a bed for the cubicle, but in the meantime a consultant had been holding like a clinic at the bottom of our two beds. So there's two children in the little room. There's a consultant treating children who have had burns injuries at the back. We can hear all this. There's one sink in the room. The staff, now I have to say from the outset, the staff are absolutely fantastic. The frontline staff and our A&Es are being worked to the bone. They're doing the best they can, but they're working in a place with no capacity, no place to put beds. At around 2 o'clock, I heard a consultant in with the, because you're so close to the patient next to you, the consultant was in with a very sick baby next to us who had the RCA virus, which is contagious. So we've just spent half the night now beside a baby in a little room with other people coming and going, using one sink, etc. So it's, look, the consultants there were saying, look, there's nothing we can do. We can't put, there's 20 odd children waiting all weekend. Some of the staff that were in our A&E were from the Children's Health Blanchardstown, but sure, it's only open 9 to 5 Monday to Friday. It still can't do its own bloods and tests and all that sort of stuff. So they are under pressure out there. Although millions have been spent in this new facility, it's not operational because they've no staff. They can't attract staff because the staff that are there at the minute are working in impossible situations. And what we see then is I'm homesick now after spending time in A&E. Our daughter, who should be treated with some kind of respect and was treated with respect from all the staff,
but the system is just failing
so badly,
yeah.
Then there are sick children going in there that can't get the best treatment that they should be getting because we just don't have the facilities.
And what's your experience in the past?
Look, it has been varied. Things are definitely getting worse. We have noticed Sophia, our daughter waited 16 months back in 2012 for spinal surgery. She was critically ill. In 2015, she needed spinal surgery again, and she waited 19 months. She was critically ill again. Now, that was longer than before. Things are getting worse. We know since Simon Harris took office back in 2013, there was around 600 children waiting over 18 months. I think the figures speak for themselves at the minute. I think there's over 18 or 11,000 at the minute. I haven't got the exact figures. But any of the waiting list figures are atrocious.
And what's going to happen from today, Aaron?
Well,
do you know?
Hello?
Yeah, is there anything going to happen from today?
From today? today and what...
And as regards Sophia and how
we
she's...
We get home late on Saturday night. We get home after putting a... she got a cast on. She saw her orthopedic surgeon on late on Saturday night. And at 9 o'clock, she had a cast on, and we went home around 10 o'clock or so.
Having spent the 24 hours...
We were given the option. Yeah. We were given the option of getting out there. But there's lots of children and lots of people. There was children sitting in the corridors, and the parents need to do pee tests, and they're sitting there lined up with children in states of undress. It's really...
dreadful. And now the reason I asked you what happens now is, does she have to go in or anything? Or
She has a broken leg. That wasn't determined until late on Saturday. They thought it was something else. They thought it was a little infection in her leg. But she's home now, and home's the best place for her to be. Because
what an experience, though. It's just...
Well, look, that's not the worst of it. There are children there that can't get out. Our emergency departments are struggling all around the country. There is a serious lack of interest and investment, and you know the government don't seem to be able to address the issues that are right here and now with waiting lists.
I don't want to make political points on it, because I know it's to do with your child and all that, but they'd say we're investing this in the brand new children's hospital, so they say they are investing.
Well, look, $2 billion in a children's hospital that has taken far longer to build than it should have been opened, and they've cut services around the country for that. When that hospital is built, they won't have one extra bed in a system that is already not able to cope.
Yeah.
And plus, we have a growing population. Our population has grown massively over the last 5 years, and that's going to keep going. So they've built a hospital in the centre of town where nurses can't get accommodation.
Okay, and I know we've been over that. You stay on the line there a second, Erin, because you might be interested to hear what Aisling McNiff says. Good morning, Aisling.
Hi, good morning, Declan.
Good morning to you. So you hear Aaron's story, presumably with your family it's the same.
Yeah, now I'm lucky enough that we were last in A&E in October, and it was the beginning of October, so it was kind of before the kind of flu season, RSV season hit. So we were only about 8 or 9 hours before we got a bed. And to be honest, that's kind of average. So you wouldn't even bat an eye at that. But I have spent overnight in A&E, and what incensed me this morning and why I was ranting on Twitter was because I knew of Aaron's case, which was just a couple of days ago, and I knew of a friend of mine's case who's in there overnight and hadn't been seen by a doctor for 8 hours. This is a child who has an intellectual disability, complex medical issues, and she was in with breathing issues. I'm just wondering what the hell are the government going to do about this? You know, if a child isn't seen quickly, a child deteriorates, and children get sick very fast. We don't have the time for this, you know, and this, you know, care can't wait. That's actually true. Care can't wait, and we're so sick of it. And, like, you know, it's a knock-on effect. The waiting lists for everything, for to see an OT, a physio, an SLT, to see a consultant in hospital, they're years long. Like, early intervention, my eye. Nobody knows about early intervention in Ireland. And the whole thing is that if you don't intervene early, you don't get a good outcome.
Let's break it down. And I know you're involved and Aaron is involved, but let's look at a bit detached just for a second, okay? So, first of all, there's the long waiting list, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so then eventually, if something happens, you have to go into the ED department. Aaron said in his tweet that it was like a war zone, but the staff are run off their feet. So, is there a lack of staff, and is there a lack of beds, or what is it in your view?
Well, the lack of staff because they have not recruited enough people, and there's basically a moratorium because they pumped all the money into Children's Hospital. And then we hear about the printer this week for 1 million, broadband, and we hear 60 million was given back by Catherine Zappone for children's use. Like, I mean, everything you read every day is just getting more and more frustrating for parents like myself and Aaron, you know, who have children who are so complex.
Okay, so there's a lack of staff, and the poor staff that are there are run off their feet at the time.
Yeah, there's a lack of resources, and there's two consultants over in Connolly, and there's only one consultant in Temple Street, one in Talla, and one in Crumlin. And Connolly is an urgent care centre. They're pumping money into the wrong areas. They're not listening to doctors, they're not listening to nurses, and they're not listening to parents and patients.
Well, what about beds? Aaron was saying there that Sophia was stuck in a wheelchair for all that time, you know?
And another very worrying thing, and this happened last year, and I don't know what the story is. I'm actually going into Crumlin today, so I'm going to ask. But, you know, when they say that the hospital is full, that doesn't necessarily mean every bed has a patient in it. What it means is that the beds that are staffed are full. So say if you have a ward with 25 beds, but you only have enough nurses to cover 20 beds, 5 beds are closed, and that's 5 more children waiting in A&E. It's an absolute disgrace. Our children should not be on corridors and should not be on trolleys. I'm so incensed by this. I mean, these are our children. These are our children's lives. I'm going in there today for a long-awaited appointment and many issues, and I'm furious, and I want patient advocacy to come with me to my appointment because I've been ignored for a year. I'm on waiting lists for this, that and the other. There's a DEXA scanner in Temple Street that isn't open, sitting there for about a year. I'm waiting for an endocrine appointment, which I've luckily got because I've gone mad. It's he who shouts loudest gets heard, and that's not the way it should be. And the two-tier system is another joke. Like, for example, there's a 3-year waiting list for rheumatology, and if you are lucky enough to have the money to spend on a private appointment, there's a 9-month waiting list. There should be 6 weeks is what children should be waiting for, and no more.
Mm. Aaron, last word with you.
Well, look, I think the HSE project has failed, and has failed our most vulnerable. And anybody that's involved in the public system can see that plainly. It has driven thousands into a bubbling private health sector. And that system doesn't work for the people that can't afford it, you know. There's knock-on effects here. We have the highest number of consultancy vacancies in Europe. Our consultants are asked to come in and do the same job as their peers for less money. So straight away, it's not attractive for them. We have the worst waiting lists in Europe. We have the worst waiting list targets for Europe. And to be honest with you, there's very little good to be said about the way the system is set up and the way the system treats its most vulnerable. Again, we're not saying the staff are not doing their best, because they are, but they're working in impossible circumstances. And people might think, sure, that's the way it is. There's figures every week that come out saying there's so many thousand on the waiting list. People become immune to it and think, well, that's the system, that's the way it is. And it doesn't really affect you until your child is in there with it, and there's nothing we can do. People can do something. They can stop voting the same cronies in, the same people that refuse to acknowledge. Simon Harris has not even accepted that there's a health crisis at the moment. He won't meet with advocacy groups. He won't acknowledge that there's a staff crisis and a capacity crisis. And without acknowledging them things, it's fine saying Slantia Care will sort this out in 10 years, but that's not helping the children that are waiting now.
Okay.
And the old people that are stuck in corridors.
All right.
You know, people, there's an election coming up, people can make their voices heard, and that's what I would ask people to do.
Aaron Daly, thanks very much indeed. And Aisling, thank you very much, Aisling McNiff, for coming in.
Thank you
for your views, obviously. Parents who've gone through the system there and have outlined as they see it what's going on, and it doesn't sound something you want to be able to be caught up in. Children's Health Ireland, which oversees services at Our Lady's Children's Hospital in Crumlin, Temple Street Hospital in Dublin as well, and the National Children's Hospital Talia, say the delay is due to the number of children and infants presenting for admission. They have begun postponing effective procedures ahead of the winter peak months, and they say that Crumlin and Temple Street are likely to see the greatest impact. Yesterday morning, there were 22 patients waiting for admission to an inpatient bed.